Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a great call planned for you today. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out on our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. Go out to Facebook. You can type in Sales Technology Training Program in the search bar at the top, and that will lead you there. You can also click on a link, click the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today, and that will take you into the group as well. Now, you can also access the recordings of the Sales Technology Training calls out on our membership page. The link is in the email message. You can click on that. That will take you out there and get you access to all those recordings. Now, one thing I want to mention here, today is the last call of the Sales Technology Training Program. Today's module is on PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. And I want to let you know that I would encourage you to go out to the membership page and access the recordings there. I'm going to be cleaning up the membership page here in a couple months. So let me just pull up the page here right now. I have calls for all the way back to February of 2014 out on that page. I'm going to be simplifying that page and cutting it down to just 12 recordings. So if for any reason you want to go out and access and download any of those recordings on that page, because you know each time I do the program, each time I've done the program in the past, I share some additional new information. So you're welcome to go out and get access to those now. I will keep the page as is until about June 30th, and then in July I'm going to go in and make an update to that page. So you've got almost 2 months to be able to go download all the recordings that you want, and then going forward in the future, we'll just have 12 modules of content out on that page to get access to it. And again, today is the last call for this program. So welcome, and thank you for joining in today. And so let's go ahead and dive right in. Today's call the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And we focus in particular on sales technology tools. And there are 12 modules of content that you can access. By the way, I'll just throw this out here before we jump into the content. One of the things I've been thinking lately, I've always got ideas about how to create new content and share information. And one of the things that's kind of been hitting me lately that I thought might be beneficial is to find out if anybody would be interested in some periodic trainings on technology tools. And I'll just kind of give you a sense of what this is. There are only so many different technology tools that I use, but I'm always experimenting with different technology tools. And I thought it might be nice periodically to do something like maybe a free training. I'm not sure if I would make it paid, but maybe a free training where I share some of my best ideas on a particular technology tool. I'll just give you an example. One of the tools that I'm using right now is a tool called Basecamp, which is a project management tool. So I would do a training probably in the range of about half an hour and would share some ideas about how I use that. And even if you don't plan to use Basecamp, you might still get some valuable ideas about project management or managing to-do lists or task tracking or things like that. So there could be a benefit even if you don't plan on using a technology tool for something like that. If I did that, it probably wouldn't be like a huge elaborate presentation. It would be more just like a demonstration. I might have a few main ideas that I would cover, maybe a few PowerPoint slides, and it would just mainly be a demonstration of the technology tool. If you're interested in an idea like that, post a message out in the Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program, let me know. I just figured I'd put that out there and see if anybody has any input or would have any interest in learning around that. Just because I'm always looking for ways that I can create value, always looking for ways that I can share ideas and insights, and I'm all about getting people into action and leveraging technology tools. Okay, let me continue on. So today's topic again is on PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. And I think the important idea here is to think about ways that you can bring money in the door. See, as a business owner, the way I look at it is I've got a lot of different ways that I can make money. And don't know if I've mentioned the buckets of money strategy before, but I kind of look at the internet as being a place where you can just kind of set up buckets and collect money. You know, it's kind of like when you go down to the downtown of your big local city or urban area. As you walk down the street, you're very likely to see some street performers, and they might have a jar or a cup, or you have the guy who's playing the guitar and he has his guitar case open and people are throwing money in there. And you know, that's the buckets of money strategy offline. And online, the buckets of money strategy is about creating ways for people to pay you money online. And so there are a lot of different ways that you can create an income in your business. And by the way, if you, let's say that you're working for another company and you have products and services that you can sell, you can still create your own products that you can sell. You could create something like an information product that you could sell online. What's great about this is there are so many different ways that you could have money coming in the door. All it requires is creativity. When I started my business 12 years ago, I had no idea at the time where my business would eventually end up, although I did have a big vision for what I wanted to do. I had a vision of providing coaching and training and creating, you know, publications and other things. So I had kind of a big vision, but I didn't really foresee where I am today in terms of what I have. And so my business has evolved over the years. But at the core of what I do is around providing value, training, educating, teaching, coaching, mentoring, consulting with companies, helping them to get into action to build their business online. So for you, you have to think about your own skill set. Think about what knowledge you have. Think about what capabilities that you have in your business to create results. So if you're not making enough money, then it might be because you're not making it easy enough for people to give you money. And on today's call, I want to talk to you about some of those different ways that you can get money coming in the door. So if you want to make more money, there's a value in optimizing the way that people can pay you. And again, there's a lot of simple techniques for collecting money. We're going to kind of focus in on PayPal today, but there are other methods as well. In fact, just recently I set up a merchant account. I had a merchant account earlier in my business, and then I let it go at a certain point. And then I realized earlier this year I really need to be moving back toward having a merchant account again. And so I'm utilizing a service called Stripe. And one thing that's different between Stripe and, say, some of the other traditional merchant services providers is they have a lower bar in terms of becoming a merchant. They don't have the same kind of process for underwriting and approval as others do. And in some cases, you get approved same day to be a merchant. And then basically, a merchant account just allows you to collect payments from other people's credit cards. And what's nice is you can take a merchant account and you can integrate it into a shopping cart or e-commerce system. And so I was able to set up Stripe, and then I integrated that into my shopping cart, and now people can purchase products online, not only just through PayPal, but also by using their credit card directly. Now, you have one interesting distinction is that you have full pay versus payment plans. So a number of years back, say prior to 2008, a lot of people were expecting full payments on things. And it got to a point where when the economy, when we had kind of the Great Recession, that people were no longer in a position to make a full payment for things. And so payment plans really kind of made a surge. And, you know, people are expecting these days to have an option for a payment plan. So payment plans are part of my strategy. In fact, I just did a marketing campaign at the end of April, which utilized a payment plan option. In fact, that was the only option. It was only a payment plan option available. And as a result of that, allowed me to enroll a number of new clients into one of my programs. Now, you probably heard the phrase, the confused mind doesn't buy. The confused mind doesn't buy. So when you are selling things online, you want to make it super simple. You want to make your offer clear. You want to make it easy for people to purchase. If they are confused about any step in the process, they're probably going to bail out and not continue on. And I found that to be the case online. A lot of people, there's a term in online marketing that's referred to as shopping cart abandonment. Shopping cart abandonment or displaying abandonment, meaning that someone started a shopping cart and then they abandoned it somewhere in the process, and as a result of that, they never completed the transaction. And by the way, as we're going through the call today, I want to encourage you to join me in the Facebook group. And let me also set a comment goal for today's call. Let me just check in to see where we are on our on who's on the call. Okay, good. So let's set a comment goal of 30 comments for the call today. And I can see that Alan is posting there, Roy is posting there, Tom is posting there, and I can also see that Susan is on the call. So I'm just going to post a quick welcome message for Susan out here in the Facebook group. So she'll get a little ping to come out and join the conversation. Now, Robert Kiyosaki said, business is like a wheelbarrow. Nothing happens until you start pushing. Business is like a wheelbarrow. Nothing happens until you start pushing. I found this to be true in my business. When there are times that I just kind of sit back and I have this kind of perspective of kind of bring it on, and a lot of times, sometimes something will happen, but a lot of times nothing will happen. And so then I go, okay, well, I better be more proactive in letting people know that I want to help them. So then I start working on taking action to get my message out there and creating visibility, creating activity, which will produce results. And, what's funny is, I've had conversations with clients before, and, they may be in a position where they're not getting results, and we start talking about what their activities are. And their activities really are not up to par with the results that they want. And I think this is a challenge for a lot of people, is that they have high expectations about what they want to accomplish, but they're not really taking the actions that are necessary to drive that. And so usually I generate the most success in my business when I really get into gear. I start working on email marketing. I start working on event marketing. I start blogging. I start posting on social media. I'm doing all these different things. And for me, a lot of my business is driven around events, teleseminars, webinars, other types of events. That's what typically brings a lot of my business in. But I have to be doing all the other marketing to accomplish that. So, for some people, it may feel a little bit too much to be in action all the time like that to be able to build their business. So you could consider doing something like a 90-day cycle or, do like 6 weeks on and 6 weeks off or, spend time planning your campaigns. So rather than being in just like constant perpetual marketing mode to kind of cycle through over time, it could be 30 days on, 30 days off. And it's not that you're not doing anything on the other 30 days. It's just that you could do a marketing push during a 30-day period. What I typically do is I market throughout the month, and then I have a bigger promotion that I do at the end of the month. So I pick up the pace of activity in terms of what I'm doing at the end of the month, which is kind of logical anyway, because a lot of businesses as it is, they do promotions and specials, which often end at the end of the month. So people are already used to that anyway and feeling like, there are opportunities that are going to expire at the end of the month. So, what's nice about it is I'm not having to reinvent the wheel. That's a mindset that's already built into our culture. So I'm not having to, create something that doesn't already exist. I'm just tapping into a mindset that people already have. Now, one of the ways that you might want to collect money in your business is by invoicing clients. And for some of my clients, I do work where I invoice them directly. In fact, the way that I work is I will typically invoice clients in advance. So a client can pay for a package of hours in advance, and then I provide that work to them. So then I could send, for instance, a PayPal invoice to them that would invoice them for that those hours of work. So that's a technique that you can use. And you can do that without having a merchant account. All you have to do is have PayPal. So PayPal has ways that you can collect money by putting a button on a web page where people can click and then purchase something. But you could also send an email message with an invoice in it, and people can click and then complete the form and then pay the amount. One thing that's nice about PayPal account, I think in today's age, most people have a PayPal account, and they've already taken the time to go in and link their forms of payment there, like a credit card or a checking account or something else like that. Some people maintain a balance in there as well. In fact, it's a good idea if you can maintain a balance in a PayPal account. In fact, just up until recently, I had a balance in my account, and then I kind of had pulled it down because I had some expenses come up. So now I have to build up the balance back a little bit more. Now, let's talk about some of the different software tools that you can use in invoicing, collecting money. One of the simple tools is QuickBooks. QuickBooks is a bookkeeping system. And you can go in and you can invoice directly through QuickBooks. In fact, there's a QuickBooks online version. But I think even with the offline version, the one that's on your computer, you can also send out invoices that way as well. And they'll usually go out by email to somebody. You might need a method for them to make a payment and collect the funds. Then there's also invoicing software that you might install on your computer. There are also online invoicing tools. There's quite a few that are out there. One of the ones I'm familiar with and that I've used periodically is Zoho Invoicing. So I'll do that for clients who don't use PayPal. I'll go into Zoho, create an invoice, and it also provides other tracking. So when I get a payment in, then I can go in and note that in my account that I've collected that payment. And then also, as I mentioned, you can also use PayPal to send out invoices as well. And the nice thing, again, with PayPal is you click a button and you select a form of payment that's already, you know, tied into your PayPal account, and then the funds will automatically be taken out of wherever they need to come from, and then the payment is made. There's even a method, I think, with PayPal which will have like a delayed effect where it's a delayed payment. Now, as far as merchant accounts go, you can set up a merchant account, and you could collect a credit card, and you could take the payment. So in many cases, they have a virtual terminal where you can go in and type in the credit card information, and then that will process against the customer's account. One thing I've found with a lot of merchant accounts is they don't really like to see you processing a lot of manual payments. They would prefer to see you where there's a physical credit card on file or where they're purchasing online. And one of the reasons is just because of the laws and regulations in place regarding credit cards. And so there's too much risk for fraud if people are just, you know, manually processing a credit card payment. So this is one of the reasons you want to be shifting toward having online marketing systems in place that will collect your payments. So if you have something like a shopping cart or a CRM or e-commerce system that allows you to set up a merchant account, and then you can set up a web page like a sales page where people can go and purchase a product, fill out the form, and then enter their credit card information, and then it's processed through your system. There are also services like Square, and then also I think Square Up. I'm not familiar with Square Up. Let me see if I can pull up the website. Start selling today. Take care of your business anywhere with Square. I think that might be the same one. So Square Up might be the same thing as Square. But anyway, you could check that out as well. And by the way, in a few minutes here, I'm going to read some of the comments out on the Facebook page. So feel free to pop out there. Go to the Sales Technology Training Program Facebook group. When you go there, look for the green image at the top of the page, the pinned post, and post a message there. And we're already up to 25 comments, so great job. Keep them coming. I'll come out and read those in just a minute. Now, as far as getting paid, one of the ways to think about getting paid is to be paid by the project or by the hour. And there are some people that will tell you only charge by the project versus getting, charging by the hour. And this is typically for service-based businesses. So I'm a service-based business, although I do have products and programs that people can buy. I also do provide done-for-you services, so people can hire me to do things for them. So the advantage of breaking things out by project is that, one benefit is oftentimes you can get paid a higher rate for that, because you're charging for a larger overall project versus by the hour. Then oftentimes, because there's a comparison by rate, then people tend to be more sensitive toward rate shopping, and so they're comparing one person versus another, and so that could result in you getting less money overall. But I do I use both strategies. In some cases, I charge by the project. In other cases, I do charge by the hour. I find for many of my clients that oftentimes it's easier for them to just purchase a block of hours and then have me, complete a project for them. So I make that available. And oftentimes this is for clients who might need help with a website or something else like that. Now, you also want to take a look at there's a concept known as a monthly nut, which is kind of, here are the expenses that you need to pay in a given month. So one of the things to think about is when you have to find the motivation to make money in your business. I sometimes wonder if some people are like independently wealthy, because they don't seem to have that much motivation to actually generate sales in their business. And I think if you want to build a successful business, you really have to realize the importance of actually making money, of actually selling something. But I can personally relate, because earlier in my business, I did a lot of things in my business that weren't necessarily revenue generating. And it took me a long time before I really got the importance of making sales. And, it seems like a simple concept, but over time, I really, began putting more of an emphasis around it. But the concept of the monthly nut is to think about what are your expenses each month? What are your business expenses and what are your personal expenses? Because you want to be able to earn enough money that you can pay your business expenses and then take some money out and cover your personal expenses, and then obviously still have money left over for the business that you can reinvest back in the business. So, for example, in this last month, in the month of April, I invested in some new technology tools. I purchased a new microphone. I purchased a new video camera, or a new webcam. And those were expensive. I mean, they're not that expensive in the grand scheme of things, but any time you have to have an outlay of money beyond kind of like your standard normal business expenses, that can be a stretch. So you have to be able to have some additional money coming in to your business to be able to accomplish that. So let's say that you calculate your monthly net and it's, say, $5,000. So you need to know that you need to earn at least $5,000 in revenue in order to be able to cover your business expenses and your personal expenses. Now, what happens if you don't cover your expenses? Well, either your accounts are going to go into a past due status, that's a possibility, or you might have to borrow money from somewhere to make the payment. Maybe you have to cancel something to be able to bring things back down. So that is a consideration to think about. But it's something you want to monitor each month. What is your monthly nut? How are you doing each week as you head through the month? And sometimes you'll have it, but it's a good idea if you have like hard, fast numbers that you can use to evaluate what your expenses are. Now, how do you set up, let's talk about recurring payments for a moment. And this kind of goes along with the payment plan concept. Because if you have a situation where you're taking or providing a payment plan option, then that should be creating a recurring payment. That should mean that when people pay the first time, and then it automatically sets up a recurring payment over time. And you can utilize this through a merchant account or through PayPal. You might need a shopping cart in order to be able to set that up. So with recurring payments, what's nice is that each month when you start the month, then you know that there's going to be a certain amount of money coming in from a recurring payment. So you know that unless there are any problems, and occasionally there are problems, but you know that you've got money coming in. And that's a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling when you can get to a point that you start the month knowing that you've got a little bit of money coming in. It may not be, may not cover all your expenses. I mean, one concept would be to get to a point in your business where you had enough recurring income or recurring payments to pay all your business expenses. That might be a goal to shoot for, is to implement some payment plan options or an ongoing monthly recurring option so that you would have ongoing income coming in. In fact, that's one area that I'm looking at in my business, is to set up some kind of an ongoing membership program. And so people would pay a certain amount of money each month for something on an ongoing basis. So what's nice about that is it's recurring. It happens, you know, month in and month out. So it's a powerful idea. So think about how you can set up products, services, programs, membership programs, so that you can have recurring income coming in. It can make your life a lot easier. Now, you can also do this through offering services. Like one of my clients is Todd Lay, who's a bookkeeper. So he offers an ongoing service of bookkeeping, and clients pay him month in and month out. So he's able to collect money from them each month. In fact, one thing Todd does, Todd actually collects money on a weekly basis. What he found is that it makes it easier for both clients and for him by having payments come in on a weekly basis than on a monthly basis. It kind of spreads out the income flow for him, and it spreads out the expenses for his clients. So pretty interesting concept. You can adjust your time frame for how payments are collected over time. Also think about, how is the economy? What's going on in the economy has a lot to do with how you might charge for your services and your products. In fact, one of the things I posted out on Facebook recently was the fact that I'm predicting that the economy is going to see another recession here in the next 1 to 2 years. So do you think an upcoming recession could affect people's ability to pay for things? Sure, absolutely. So it's something to prepare for in your own business, and to make sure that if the economic situation changes, then it's not going to torpedo your business. So you may need to make some adjustments. Another business model that you can use for collecting money is the retainer model. In the retainer model, think about the way an attorney bills. So an attorney is going to charge you by the hour. But with a retainer model, you pre-purchase a certain number of hours each month. And oftentimes they'll do this by providing some kind of a discount, or maybe that's the only way that they work with clients. It's like, no, I'm not going to just do one-off work for you. I only take clients that are paying a retainer per month. So that's an option. And, you know, you can do that when you're in a position of power. When you have something valuable that people want, then they're willing to pay for that. Another thing to think about is, do you have a model that is a use it or lose it, or is it more of a rollover model? So is there something that's being offered that they have to use up each month and then it's gone, or that just kind of rolls over to the next month like your phone, you know, phone minutes do? Now, how do you set up recurring payments? Well, I know for me, when I, for instance, if I set up a recurring payment within one shopping cart, I would go in and I create a product, and then I have a place where I can set up the payment, and I can specify an initial amount, and then I can specify an ongoing monthly amount. Actually, I can change the frequency of the payment, so it could be monthly or it could be weekly or something else. And then I can also adjust when the second payment is collected. So it could be something like, $100 initially, and then the second payment comes after 45 days, and then it's recurring every 30 days after that. So know the different systems and tools that are available in order to set up a recurring payment option. One other thing to think about with the recurring payments, this is not necessarily something you have to worry about with PayPal. It could be an issue, but it certainly is a problem if people are putting their credit card in directly, and that is what happens when the expiration date changes. Also, what happens if somebody loses their card and reports it as lost or stolen? So there are certain factors which kind of can disrupt the process at some point. So you kind of have to monitor what's going on. Sometimes things will break in the process, and if you're not paying attention, you know, it could result in a loss of revenue. So you have to have review processes in place that identify if there are issues that happen and then how to resolve those. All right, let me pop out in the Facebook group. I know we've got a lot of comments out there, so I'm going to start reading some of them. I've got a few more ideas that I'll come back to and share after that. And we're already up to 34 comments, so great job. Tom says, good afternoon, group. Roy says, hi. Susan says, hi, everyone. I'm listening by phone but won't be on Facebook. Alan says, Alan from Sacramento. And he says, the last valuable module. Yes, today is the last call in the program. Roy says, today's module 12 of 12, PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. Alan said, Rick has new ideas about creating new content, periodic trainings on technology tools. Alan says, tools like Basecamp. Tom says, I'm interested in any of your presentations on technology tools. Awesome. And Alan says, always something new and interesting to learn about. Roy shared the link out to Basecamp. Yeah, you know, one thing's with Basecamp, I wish they had an affiliate program, but I don't think they do. I'd love to be able to refer other people to it and earn a commission, but I haven't seen that they've had that option available, which is kind of a shame. But they have different pricing plans for it, and the one I'm on right now I think is $20 a month. And what's interesting is I signed up for they had a free 60-day trial. I mean, what company provides a 60-day trial for their software product? And by the way, Basecamp, it's been around for years. It's considered one of the best project management tools out there. It's very user-friendly and easy to use. And I've used it before in my business and then kind of let it go and have utilized other things, and I kind of came back to it recently. One of the things that's interesting is that Basecamp had all these other products that they created, and they decided to really simplify and just focus on this one product. In fact, previously their company was called 37 Signals. And so what they did was they sold off all these other software programs they created just to focus on Basecamp, and they renamed the company Basecamp. I think that's such a great story because so often you see companies try to do, you know, they're trying to be everything to everybody else. And I think seeing a successful company just focus on its core product is so great because it gives everybody else kind of the idea that, hey, you know, there's a value in simplicity. There's a value in focus and being the best, you know, at what you can be in serving your clients. And so I'm a believer in Basecamp. And so I signed up for the 60-day trial, and then the 60-day trial ended and I forgot to upgrade. And when I went to upgrade, the payment plan option had changed. And so the option that I wanted was not available, and I was bummed out. And so I sent a message. The first thing I thought was, okay, well, let me see if I can call them or get through to them. And it looked like the easiest way to do it was going to be to go out to the website and to submit a ticket to them. And I had read around elsewhere that they had really improved their support, and that oftentimes you'll hear back with them within less than an hour, and in some cases within a couple minutes. And sure enough, I submitted a ticket, and then I went back and checked within a half an hour, and I got a message from them, and they said, we've extended your free trial for another week to allow you time to upgrade. And when I went back in to upgrade, the option that I wanted for $20 a month was available, and I was able to upgrade. And so I was happy about that. But that was a good user experience that they were able to resolve that situation quickly for me. And by the way, that's another example of a recurring business model, is having an online software program that people can sign up for and utilize over time. Not that that might be something that you would be interested in doing or creating, but you know, it just gives you another example of a business model out there that's successful in generating income over time. Alan says, different ways to create income for your busyness. Be creative. Absolutely. Susan says, I like the idea of occasional tech tool webinars, but I would suggest you talk about tools you're really good at using and invite other experts to teach about other tools. That's interesting. That might be a good idea, is to do some, I don't know if it'll be so much interviews, but just having other experts come in and teach tools. Good idea. Alan says, make it easy for people to give you money. Yes, absolutely. I think sometimes people will just make it too difficult. and really think through the process. Because even if you have a way that people can purchase online, have you really optimized the process that will get people to the point where they're going to buy? Tom says, watch for phishing messages purporting to be from PayPal. I'm seeing about one a week. Yeah, I get a lot of those messages too. A lot of them automatically end up in my spam folder in Gmail, but I do get those periodically. And so a phishing message is where you get an email message that asks you to log into your account. You click, and what they're basically trying to do is get you to enter all your information in that would give them either access to your account or would just give them some information they can use for identity theft. Alan says, full payment versus payment plans. People expect a payment plan option these days. But also, people realize in a lot of cases that if they pay a full payment, they might get a discount or additional bonuses or something else. Alan said, business is like a wheelbarrow. Nothing happens until you start pushing. Right. Get into action. And not only get into action, but also plan things out. Like, one of the reasons I have a push at the end of the month is because I plan it out at the beginning of every month. So, in fact, let me think for a moment. I already have a plan for this month in terms of what I'm going to do. I have a high-level plan, but I need to take it down to the next level and plan things out in terms of what I'm going to do. But if you get into action, if you plan out, then it's much more likely you'll execute. But I like doing things on a monthly basis. A month is a long enough time for me to plan and be able to implement and then just consistently do that over time. So you might like that idea of thinking about how to plan some type of a marketing promotion each month and then execute on it. Alan says, PayPal lets you put a button to click and pay, or you can send a PayPal invoice. Right, yeah, you can create a button and put it right up on a sales page where people can click and purchase, or you can create the invoice. Now, one thing I'll mention about PayPal invoices, they do allow you to create a maximum of 50 different invoices. Now, when I say invoices, I'm talking about invoice templates. That means like creating, having 50 different products that you could have templates for. Most people, this is not going to be an issue. But like usual, for me, I've exceeded that number. And so if I have something new that I'm offering and I'm using an invoice for it, then I've had to actually go in and delete another template out so that I could create a new template to use and send out. And you can create an invoice without having a template, but if you plan on using it again, you might as well just create a template at the same time. And basically, while you're creating the invoice, you can just click and save it as a template and have it available. But there's certain things that you can enter in terms of the price point and a description of the product, the name of it, that's helpful so that when you go in and select that, that it, all the information is available. Roy says, maintain a balance in your PayPal account if you need it to cover expenses or refunds. Yeah, that's a good idea. It's a good idea to have a balance in your PayPal account if you're going to be using it on an ongoing basis. And then also the funds are just available directly. They don't have to be, come out of another account or something like that. You don't want a situation like you make a payment, it's going to come out of your checking account, you didn't plan for it, now your checking account gets overdrawn or something like that. So having a balance in your PayPal account just helps. Roy says, use an invoicing program or feature such as QuickBooks invoicing feature. Yes. There are certain programs that you could use just for invoicing, like Zoho. And so that can be helpful to be able to go in and set up an invoice and send it out. And usually it might send out the invoice as an attachment, like a PDF file or something like that, where they can click and then see the invoice and then know what needs to be paid and then do that. So there's just some times when you need to be able to create an invoice. And if somebody doesn't use PayPal, then you need another option. So I like having multiple ways that I can go out and ask for money. There's always going to be, the odd duck that, it doesn't fit into the other options of how you can collect money. In fact, I've had people mail checks to me. And so that could be an option as well, is to say, well, sure, just send me a check to this address. So just know what options are available so that if one option doesn't work out, then somebody else, or you can provide a second option or a third option that will work. Alan says a merchant account lets you take credit card payments. Right, yeah, and you can process it online, or in some cases you can just go in and type the information directly in yourself and then process the payment. Alan said, but they don't like a lot of manual payment entries. They prefer online payment links. Yes, and one of the thing that I heard from one of the merchant account services that I talked to was they set up limits on your account, and if you exceed the limits, that can kind of red flag your account, and it could get your account shut down or suspended. So it's a good idea to know if you have any limits on your account, and if necessary, contact them to increase it. So if you're expecting a huge influx, you know, during a particular month because of some kind of promotion you're doing or a joint venture partner or something else like that, it might be a good idea to contact your merchant account, see what the limits are, and maybe have those limits raised. Alan says, how to get paid by the project or by the hour, right? Selecting one of those two options and potentially utilizing both of those in a service-based business. Roy says, breaking things down by project often lets you charge a higher rate than by hour. Yeah, it's, you know, oftentimes when you break it out on a project basis with everything included, you can charge that at a higher rate than if you were just charging by the hour. And the other thing is not everybody wants to track hours. That is one of the disadvantages of hourly-based work is that you have to keep track. You have to use some kind of a time tracking software tool that when you do work, you track that time and you can summarize it and, if necessary, provide it to your client, you know, showing what you were doing and when. Roy says recurring payments can make payment collection easier. Yes. It makes it easier because, I mean, the other option would be you're having to manually process a payment. By the way, one other option I'll mention here, there is another option, which is ACH draft, where you could actually draft someone's account using an old technology of a draft check. And these days it's done, I think they can do drafts electronically, or you could actually print out checks and take them into the bank, which always kind of feels a little bit weird to, like, be printing out other people's checks and then taking those checks into a bank and cashing them. But there are services that can be used for that. Those services do exist. So one advantage of that is you don't have a merchant account fee. If you're collecting payments by credit card, you're paying a merchant account fee through your merchant account. Maybe it's 2%, maybe it's 3%, maybe it's something else. But if you use like an ACH draft, you might have a fee that you pay for that service. You might have physical checks that you have or something else. But typically it's going to be lower than the percentage rate that you pay for merchant accounts. So if you're processing lots of payments and your clients would be open to doing it that way, that might be an option. Alan says you want to get to the point where you have recurring payments for a steady revenue stream. You want to have recurring payments for a steady revenue stream. Absolutely. Yeah, if you can have recurring income coming in and month out, that really can help. Alan says, think about how you can set up product or service programs that bring in recurring income. Yeah, you know, there's a value in just creating something that you can sell, whether it's an information product, whether it's launching a training program, a coaching program, some kind of a done-for-you service. If you need to get more money coming in your business, then find a way to serve people by doing something for them. Alan says, do you need to consider possible future economy declines in your payment strategy? Right. Yeah, if you're anticipating an economic change, you know, either toward recession or toward economic boon or boom, then, you know, consider changing up your payment strategy. Roy says, a retainer model is another way to schedule payments. Yes. Yes. In certain cases, it might be good to have a retainer option available for clients. Alan says, a monthly retainer is an option. And he says, will clients have to use it or lose it, or will services roll over? Right. Absolutely. And then Alan says, what happens with a recurring payment program when a credit card expires? Or when a credit card is stolen and when they get a new one. If some systems like Infusionsoft even have a way where you can have an email that goes out with a link that people can click on where they can update their credit card expiration date. In other cases, you might have to update it manually. In other cases, you might have to delete the card and re-add it manually. So know which methods are available. All right, looks like we've got about 10 minutes or so left on the call today, so let me continue on, share a few ideas here, and then we'll go back out to the Facebook group and read some more comments. Now, I encourage you to set a goal for the amount of recurring revenue that you want to generate. So again, as I mentioned earlier, you could set a goal where it equals the amount of business expenses. So let's say your business expenses are $1,000 a month. If you set a goal to have recurring revenue of $1,000 a month, that means, you know, each month you'd have enough money coming in to pay your business expenses. So any other money coming in would either be utilized toward your personal expenses or would be utilized as profit in the business. Or you could use that money to, you know, invest in technology or something else. Now, another tip here, value the sale. Check your orders. Depending, if you're using something like a shopping cart or e-commerce system, there are all sorts of little things that can go wrong in the process. So one thing you might want to do is go in and check and see, did everything that was supposed to happen happen? Like one of the things I've often found is that with my system, with one shopping cart, when somebody purchases, sometimes the transaction goes through PayPal, but the word doesn't get back to one shopping cart that the transaction was processed. And so we'll have a message. Like if it's approved, it'll say approved. If not, then it just has another message on there. It will give you the option to manually approve it. If you don't manually approve it, then it never sends the thank you email out to say, hey, thanks for signing up, blah, blah, blah. So that could be an issue. You don't want people sitting there waiting to hear back from you and it hasn't been processed. So you really have to dig in and understand what system you're using and what the capabilities are and what's supposed to happen and how things work. You have to kind of test it out and follow up and ask questions. Hey, did you get the email, you know, welcoming you, blah, 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 and understand what that is. And, of course, it's also a good idea to follow up with your customers, follow up with your clients. When somebody purchases something, give them a call, send an email, do something else to touch base with them. Now, and also, like with recurring payments, if you're setting up a recurring payment through PayPal, go in and check that and make sure that everything is set up properly. You can go in and see the recurring payment. Another strategy that I use is I set up a spreadsheet and I list out all the recurring payments so I know how long I'm supposed to be collecting payments. And I can periodically go through the list and check to make sure everything is hunky-dory or whether I need to go back and change something. Maybe some of those payments, you know, maybe a payment failed and it's not being collected. Maybe there's some other action that I need to take manually to get that resolved. So it's a good idea to keep those recurring payments on your radar. By the way, what do you do when people stop paying? Good question. Let's consider some collection tips. So first of all, be prepared and organized. Don't be surprised that you might be in this situation where you have to collect money. You know, somebody's bought something, a payment was supposed to be collected, and now there's a problem. Anticipate. Figure out a strategy. What are you going to do? You might have some pre-written templates or emails that you can send out, or an autoresponder sequence, or picking up the phone and calling either you or an employee or somebody else. But figure out what is going to be your approach. Because here's the thing. Probably the sooner you follow up, the more likely you are to get your money. The longer you wait, the more difficult it's going to be to get your money. Also, be prepared to handle excuses. People are going to have all sorts of reasons why they can't pay. Now, I'm not suggesting that you become a collection agent. Collection agents have a very bad rap in the industry. But you just want to anticipate, or you know, what you can think about is that there are probably a limited number of excuses that people are going to have. And so be prepared to respond to that. Know the facts. You know, understand what your capabilities are, you know all the details, like how much have you collected so far? Don't call, you know, oh, I got a problem here, let me call them. How much have I already paid? I don't know. No, figure it out in advance. You know exactly how much has already been connected, know how many days late it is and all that. Just understand that before you pick up the phone and call. Think positively. If you're going to pick up the phone and call someone, then think positively that you're going to get the situation resolved, and that's going to affect how is going to influence how the situation is resolved. If you call up and you're thinking to yourself, well, they probably don't have the money to pay, so I'm probably not going to get the money, that's probably going to influence the outcome. Speak authoritatively. you know, one thing you'll find with collection agents is they use certain language and they use words that establish authority. And it's not necessarily that they're threatening, although that there are times when they do threaten, but they state things in a way that are more believable, credible, and influence you to want to take action. Take charge of the situation. You are basically leading the other person toward a resolution. Get a commitment. Before you get off the phone, get some type of a commitment, even if it's that you're going to follow up and talk to them in a week or a couple days. And then finally, be flexible. Maybe the payment plan that they're on is not working. Maybe you need to adjust that. So be prepared to offer some additional options that might work for them. Now, how do you reinforce the sale after the fact? Well, when somebody purchases, it's a good idea to do something to follow up over time that will continue to add value and help them see the value in what it is that they purchased. In fact, I'm doing this for one of my programs right now where I'm creating a video series that will go out to people who have purchased the program. What's nice about that is that it creates an ongoing systematic way that someone new to the program will get value in the program. I mean, there are a lot of ways that they can get value, but this just provides another way and a way that I can do systematically. And part of that is because I'm going to set it up through automation. So look for ways that you can automate some of your follow-up processes. Here are some tips to leverage video to reduce buyer's remorse. Video helps to build trust and rapport with people. You can use video to explain things. You can use video to set expectations and also invite people to ask for help. So think about how you can use video as part of your process after somebody purchases. You can have a series of videos that you create, that you publish online, that you have on a web page. You can, you know, you could upload a video to YouTube and you could embed that onto your website. And then you could send out an email message which includes a link to a video. That's a great technique. Now, let me head back over to the Facebook page. We'll read some of the more some of the additional comments here. Alan says, set a recurring revenue goal of blank, and then puts a dollar sign in there. He says, what do you do when people stop paying? Have a plan or process in advance. Figure out what your approach will be. Absolutely. And he says, figure out how to handle excuses people may have for not paying. Right, you're probably going to hear some of the same excuses over and over. Make sure that you are tracking, recording what those excuses are so that you know how to respond to people. Alan says, be positive when people contact, or when you contact people about payment issues. Ryan says, develop a payment collections policy and scripts. Alan says, speak with authority, use words that are credible and persuasive. Alan, commitment to something before you end the call. Ryan said, study how payment collection agencies handle collection and follow best practices. Yeah, I mean, if you just Googled, you know, collection policies, collection agencies, collection scripts, collection letters, you'd probably find a lot of free resources online that you can utilize in your own processes. And I'm not suggesting that you utilize them exactly as is, but you could use it to borrow ideas. If you think about it, you know, even something like a collection letter or a collection email really is a form of copy. You're not encouraging someone to buy, but you're encouraging someone to pay or contact you to adjust payment terms or something else like that. Alan says, be flexible in changing the manner of payment. Right, maybe the issue is that the card that they're using is no longer available, but they have another card that they can provide you, or maybe they can write a check for it or something else. So, you know, just have a whole laundry list of options that you can come up with and ask about. Part of it is asking questions. Let's talk a little bit about sales pages for a moment, and in particular, adding buttons to your sales pages. So first of all, use big buttons. Like I see a lot of cases when people have an option to purchase online, maybe they just highlight the text on the screen and have a link there. People are often going to miss that. Well, a best practice is to have a big button, a colorful button that they can click on, and which links out to your shopping cart link where people can go purchase, or a PayPal link. Now, PayPal allows you to create buttons, but usually you can't change what the button looks like. So I've experimented with this a little bit before. It's a little bit dicey. In general, you're going to get the HTML code from PayPal that you put onto your web page, and that will give you a button there. So something like buy now or something like that. And by the way, there's different terminology you could use on a button. You could have buy now, order now, sign up now, enroll now, a lot of different options. By the way, there's also a capability to insert buying links into your emails. So in many cases, like when I'm offering a product, I will include a link out to a sales page where people can go and learn about the product or program and then scroll down and click a button to buy. But if you have somebody who's already ready to buy and they don't necessarily need to go through that, you can include a direct link just out to your shopping cart. And that's normally what you would be linking to from a sales page, but you just take that link and put it directly into the email. Now, if it's a really long, funky link, then what I would recommend is using something like Bitly to create a shortcut, and I've often done that. You just have to, and you can even create an alias for that. So instead of having like Bitly slash, you know, XYZ4A, you could have Bitly or bit.ly/ Rick Cooper online marketing, for example. Now, remember that you can also use template emails as a follow-up. So even if you don't have a system with autoresponder messages, you might be using something like Zoho, which allows you to create and store email templates. Or you could just have your email templates in like a Notepad file or a Word file, and you copy and paste it into your email account, put the person's name on it, and send it out. You might want to take it and customize it a little bit for their situation. But the advantage of a template is instead of starting from scratch every time you send an email, you already have something that's pre-written. By the way, another great technique is that when you, if you're talking to somebody by phone and they're ready to buy at the end of the call, one of the shortcuts you can use is just copy and paste a link into some kind of electronic service that you're using while you're on the phone with them. So, for example, one of the tools you can do is a simple one would be Facebook. A lot of people often have Facebook open, or you can ask them to open up Facebook, and you can send them a private message with the link. Another tool is Skype. One advantage with Skype is that you're not dragging people onto a social network where they might be distracted while you are talking to them. So Skype, you know, it's just you and the other person, they're on Skype, and you can send them a message. By the way, if you use if you're using a webinar tool like GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar or something else like that, you can also just copy and paste the link into the chat window. Assuming they can find the chat window, not everybody is tech savvy, so you might copy and paste it. I can't find it, so then you have to kind of explain, you know, scroll down, click here, what do you see? Do you see this? Click here, or even show a picture on your screen of what it would look like for them. Tom says, I have a service that will send collection letters for you. Oh, interesting. Very cool. Alan says, use big buttons on your sales pages. Alan says, cool, Tom. And he says, you can insert buying links into your emails. Yes. And by the way, this could also be a strategy. Like for me, one of the things I could do is if I have people who attended a webinar, I could actually send out an email afterwards and then include a link to go out to the sales page, for instance. So following up with the non-buyers, people who didn't purchase, that's a good idea. That's a good strategy because you have somebody who's interested. Now you just need to go through and follow up with them, and they might purchase at that point. And then Alan includes a link out to Bitly. We are at the end of the call for today and the end of the program. So I hope you've got a ton of you've been in the sales technology program over the last year. You might want to go back and reflect on some of the strategies that you've implemented. In fact, let's do a little walk down memory lane here, and I will just review our curriculum as far as what we've covered in this program. And by the way, one of the things I would love to have from you would be a testimonial about the sales technology training program. It's possible at some point in the future that I might bring the program back or I might relaunch it as a product or something else like that. But I would love to have a testimonial for the value that you've gotten from this program. So here are the modules that we've covered. We covered social media prospecting. opt-in pages, email database and autoresponders, sales technology integration, appointment scheduling tools and CRM systems for follow-up. We covered opt-in forms to generate appointment leads, appointment setting emails, social media techniques to book appointments. We covered e-commerce and sales pages, digital U, online video strategies, webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts, and finally, PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. A lot of content, a lot of sales technology tools, a lot of strategies to help you generate income online. So thanks for being part of the program. I value you as a client. I look forward to working with you in other programs. Have a great week, and God bless.